Our scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. If you're reading along in your pew Bible, it's on page 1787. Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we find ourselves at the beginning of another new year. So question, coming into a new year, how does that make you feel? Some might see this as a time of new beginnings, of an opportunity to start fresh. Others might look at the beginning of the new year as just another day beginning, the same old, same old. So for you, is this a time of hope? A time of excitement of what lies ahead? Or did you wake up this morning with more a sense of apathy? Or even a sense of smugness? You know, a feeling that things are fine. I've done enough. If this year is like last year, that's good. As we enter into a new year, do you find maybe even a little bit that you've lost your vision of God's future blessing on your life? There's a little part of you that thinks maybe God's done with you or that God's maybe forgotten you. Have you stopped working hard in his service? If that's the case, the words of our text are a challenge and an encouragement. In the verses that we read this morning, Paul writes about his goals and he sets himself up, his own life, he sets that as an example for us. Paul was never complacent, and we shouldn't be either. Instead of thinking that he had done enough for God's cause, and if you read the book of Acts and follow Paul's life, there are several opportunities where he could have said, "I'm done." Paul never did that. Instead of thinking that he had done enough for God's cause, Paul knew what it was to have a sanctified ambition. And he eagerly threw himself into the race that God had not only set before him, but that God had called him into that race. Paul says that he learned to press on, and he learned in three ways. First, he forgot that which is behind. Second, he looks forward to the things that are ahead. And third, he presses on. He presses on towards that mark, the mark of the prize of God's calling. Some have taken these verses for when Paul's talking about this race and getting to the end of the race and being called heavenward, that the goal of Paul's striving is heaven. But that's not the word. It says heavenward. He's called on a journey, and a journey has many, many steps, many stopping places, many signposts. And he's striving to get from one post to the next. I think in Paul's mind, there's a sanctified forgetting, and a sanctified looking ahead, and a sanctified striving to do what God has called him to do. So we begin where Paul begins. He begins with forgetting. That's not something we tend to do on a New Year's service. We tend to remember the past, as well as look forward. Whereas Paul's advice for us is to forget. Forgets those things which are behind. Well, what are those things? Well, he certainly doesn't forget his knowledge of the Bible and sound Christian teaching, sound Christian doctrine. Just have to read Paul's letters to know that he knows his gospel. And not only does he know his Christian doctrine, we know most of our Christian doctrine from what Paul tells us. And he didn't forget about God's grace or God's great mercy. That's something else that he talks about in all his letters. Paul knew that all that he has to value in his life comes from the grace of God, comes through the grace of God in Jesus Christ. So what does Paul mean by forgetting what is behind? I think it's a kind of forgetting that happens when we stop letting things that are in the past overshadow what's going on in the present. It's a kind of forgetting that lets the past be the past, both good and bad, and looks forward to the work that God still has for us. The Bible, I found a really good example in the Bible of the opposite of this, of not letting the past be past, of not looking forward to the blessings that God has for us. When God led his people out of Egypt, toward the promised land, God provided everything, one step at a time, but he provided everything for that journey forward. They had shade by day and they had light by night. They had water to drink and manna to eat. But during that journey, the time came when the people stopped looking forward to that promised land that God was leading to. They stopped looking forward and instead they looked back to their life in Egypt. Nothing wrong with looking back except that they looked back with longing. They looked back with a fondness of that life that God was leading them out of. Now, do you recall what kind of life they were being led out of? The reason God was leading them to the promised land is because he heard his people crying out in distress. They were being oppressed. They were slaves. They wanted to go back. But this is the words they used. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we've lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. The people were literally hungering for the things in the past. They began to look back, and in looking back, they were failing to trust God for their present and future blessing. This doesn't mean that we're not supposed to be thankful for when God blesses us. It doesn't mean we're not to be thankful for what happened in the past. If we had been with those Israelites in Egypt at that time, and as slaves, if we had been able to buy those cucumbers and melons and leeks and garlic, it would have been appropriate for us to give thanks to God for that blessing. It would be appropriate for us to remember years later how gracious God had been. But it'd be wrong to long for these things after God had begun to lead us into new paths. It'd be wrong to long for that when God has placed new and greater blessings in front of us. The fact is, there are a lot of leeks and garlic Christians. If you are one, if you're constantly looking to the past, if your Christian testimony, if somebody asks you your testimony, and you have to go back 30 years to when you feel that God has worked in your life, you might be a leeks and garlic Christian. If you have to go back 30 or 40 years, or if you're constantly talking about the good old days when God's blessing was on your life, then you're looking to the past. And it's hard. It's hard to do that and move forward. And Paul warns against it. He might have said, hey, past blessings are great. We received them from God's hand. We should be thankful for them. We rejoice in everything that God has done in our lives. But now we need to let those things lie in the past. We need to move forward because there cannot be progress without this proper forgetting. The second thing that Paul says he did is he fixed his eyes on the many things that God is doing now. He says that he is forgetting what is behind and he is straining forward to what is ahead. He's straining. There is no reluctance in Paul. There's no hesitation. It's as if he opens a door and he bursts through that door, eager to find that next open door. Paul's sense of the Lord's leading was always linked to this awareness of opening doors. Paul expected God to open the doors that were in front of him. And when that door opened, Paul went through without hesitation. And through those doors, Paul was constantly striving towards those next things. He presses on from one point to the next along the race course of the Christian life. Is that how you woke up this morning? Is that how we approach the Christian life? Do we run our race like that? So I think all of us, we tend to make one of two mistakes in running the race of the Christian life. We can make the mistake of looking only at the past, which shows a lack of faith in God's future blessing, but we can also make the mistake of only focusing on that far distant future, focusing only on the end of the race. Because then we miss the more immediate blessings that God has in store for us today. God wants to bless you every day. He has something in store for you every day, not just heaven at the end of the journey. So instead of either one of these, we should run our race striving toward each new task that God places before us. We should wake up in the morning to say, Lord, here's a new day you've given me. I know that there are new things to do. I know that you have new lessons for me to learn. Help me to use this day as well as I possibly can. Help me to raise my children properly. Help me to do well at my job, to do my best at school, to help my neighbor. Then at the end of the day, we can come to God again before we go to sleep and we can pray, Lord, didn't do everything today as well as I could have or should have. I've missed many of your blessings, but I thank you for being with me. Help me know to place today's experiences behind me. Help me to rest well so that tomorrow we can do this again. And God will do it because God wants to lead us onward. He wants to lead us onward in our experiences. He wants to lead us in our service for Him. Read another thing Paul says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. So not only does Paul want us to forget the past and look forward to the things ahead, he says we need to strive for them. And striving for what lies ahead, that involves perseverance, discipline, and concentration. Three things that we might not wake up with. Perseverance, discipline, and concentration. The Christian life is hard work. Do you concentrate on the Christian life, or is your mind filled with the things of this world? Do you fix your mind on the things God has for you? Or do the temporary and insignificant things of the world crowd out those lasting eternal things? If we really want to be engaged in the struggle for God's best that Paul's talking about in this chapter, then we better be prepared for vigorous spiritual conflict. This isn't about just waking up smiling. It has ramifications if we make Paul's encouragement our goals. Because our striving isn't only against ourselves. It's not just a striving against our circumstances and our weaknesses. We're striving against the spiritual forces of this world that want to stop us. Paul calls them principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. Satan actively directs his attacks against Jesus Christ. But Satan really isn't too concerned about a believer who finds himself far away from his Lord. If you want an easy time as a Christian, all you have to do is maintain a good, safe distance from Jesus. Move to the edges of the battle. Satan's not going to bother you much over there because that's where he would like you to begin with. But if you get close to the Lord, if you work hard to be near Jesus, like Paul was striving to do, if you join with Jesus in the battle, then Satan is going to start aiming his arrows at you. The battle's going to be hard, and if you want to stand a chance, you have to use the weapons that God has given us. We have to use God's weapons in the fight. All too often, Christians arm themselves with the weapons of the world instead of God's armor. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talks about God's weapons as truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, and the word of God. But how often do we try to enter the battle with good intentions, but we enter the battle with the world's armor? We think to win that we can use wisdom, self-confidence, financial stability and security, success and popularity, as if having these things will influence the battle. It's not the armor of God that he has prepared for his followers. The first thing mentioned is truth. Paul writes, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." Pilate asked Jesus about truth, remember? And then didn't even bother to wait for an answer. If he would have waited, he would have learned that Jesus is the truth and that God's word is the truth. If we're to stand firm as Christians, then first we need to be armed with the truth about Jesus Christ. We also have to have on the breastplate of righteousness. That's not the righteousness that we are clothed with when we come to believe in Jesus. Right? We don't have to be encouraged to put that on, because as soon as we accept Christ, we have that righteousness. So that's not what Paul's talking about here as armor. That breastplate of righteousness, it's a practical righteousness. It means that we have to, as Christians, we have to live holy lives. We can't allow our conduct to damage our testimony. And on our feet, we have to have the preparation of the gospel of peace. This means that we have to have mastered the heart of the gospel received in Jesus Christ and be ready to explain it to others. That doesn't mean we have to have the Bible memorized, but you sure have to be able to say why you believe. We have to be able to explain it to others. Peter puts it this way. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, this is a question, to give the reason for the hope that you have. And do this with gentleness and respect. And then we need to take on the shield of faith. And this, again, this isn't the faith that brought us to believe in Jesus Christ. This is a present faith. The shield of faith is a present faith that we don't doubt for a moment that God is in control no matter what is happening in our lives. You see what appear to be uncontrollable setbacks in your work or in your relationship with someone? That's where we need to raise that shield of faith that God is in control, lift it up high against the attacks of Satan. We have to learn to say about God what Job says in chapter 13. Job says, though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. So many songs came to mind when I was writing this. Like, my hope is found in nothing less than Jesus Christ's righteousness. And then we need to take the helmet of salvation. How wonderful to know that the center of our being is protected by the eternal salvation that God has already worked out for us. And finally, we take the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Actually, literally that Greek is the phrases of God. So here it comes down to memory work. We do need to memorize some biblical stuff. We need to be armed with specific sayings of Scripture, specific verses, so we can draw on them in our spiritual battles. As we engage in the battles of the Christian life, as we are on that race, striving from point to point, striving for the victories that God sets before us, we can take confidence in the fact that the victory of Jesus is already guaranteed the outcome. By his death and resurrection, Jesus has completely defeated Satan and all those forces of darkness. As we leave here this morning, as we go forward not only into this day but into this year, we are to echo Paul's challenge to ourselves and to those we meet. Brothers and sisters, he says, I do not consider myself yet to take hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen.